Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown, Atlanta, Georgia, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline where it is crisp and decidedly cool. It'll be 6 degrees in the morning, reminiscent of where I grew up in Boston, although there is not a drop of snow or ice. School has been let out for the children in Georgia because it's just too cold for them. Bless their hearts. Now, I don't want to be like my father, who always said, when I was young, I did this. But when I was young, we had to go to school when it was 6 degrees in the Boston area. If there was 3 or 4 inches of snow, it was called a dusting, and we still went. If it was a foot or two, we didn't go. And there were times when you really couldn't get out of the house. But there's nothing wrong here, and it just makes me, it's just kind of an indication of exactly how weak we are as a people, which is something that is very perplexing and bothersome. Now, my brother's on the line, and he had to dig out of 12 inches of snow, and that wasn't a lot of fun for him, I don't believe. Was it, Richard?
No. No, it wasn't. That was Friday morning, and it was also 6 degrees with a wind chill of about 10 below. So now today reached 56 degrees, so a lot of that pain in the snow is gone now. And it's going to freeze it up.
Yeah.
It's going to freeze tonight. As they say, polar vortex is coming. You know, doesn't that sound like some kind of a alien spacecraft that is going to take over the world? No?
Just what we need.
There's a polar vortex that is bending our way. Oh, my God.
You know, I find it interesting that this ship with scientists went down to Antarctica to study global warming. Their ship got caught in the ice and trapped, and it'll be there forever. It'll never get out. And the ship that they sent to rescue them also got stuck.
Yeah.
So if you'll remember, about 10 years ago, Al Gore said that by 2014, the ice caps in Arctica and Antarctica would be melted.
Yeah.
Now, the ship is stuck and going to be stuck. It'll never get loose. And yet,
but it will, Jack. And you know why? The United States Coast Guard is sending their ice cutter up there, which will get them out, because we have the technology to do it. But the Russians and the Chinese, they'd say, "Why don't you just leave them there?"
It amazes me. It isn't so much the ships or anything like that. It's that this belief in global warming is a tenet of faith, progressives. It's like a Christian believing in the Trinity.
Mm.
It's an absolute irrefutable truism that we have global warming. And to say that it's nonsense goes against the faith of the progressive doctrine, and they will never do it. And it's irrelevant that things that are comical like this. I mean, this is comical. They go down there to study the melting ice, and they get caught in it. I mean, how could anything be any more comical? I don't know.
Well, you know, right. The thing that gets me now, global warming, right? And
yes.
In the entire history of Minnesota, they've never closed the schools. Every one of the schools in the state of Minnesota was closed today because the wind chill had it at 52 below. Now, I think that kind of disputes global warming, doesn't it?
Well, there are all kinds of anecdotal things.
If you were outside for more than 5 minutes, your skin could freeze.
You know, the thing is it just isn't true, and it's indicative of some of the things that I want us to talk about today. The 60 Minutes yesterday had something on about, you know, when Obama came, you know, the Prince of Peace, and, you know, he would change the tides. I mean, the belief in this buffoon was so enormous, and he put huge amounts of money, over $100 billion, into green energy, and this was the wave of the future, and he was ushering it in as, you know, the undisputed messiah of progressivism. Every single thing has failed. There are none, and who's out? We're out. American people. We're out all this money. And how does this work? Well, they aren't wrong. They can't admit that they're wrong about any of these things. They just continue to go to great lengths to just foster, you know, a kind of a new little chill, and none of it works, not any of it. Now, that brings me to something else that, you know, that it's not just this money, but here we are, 70% of the people believe that we economy is in the tank. And they're very pessimistic about it. And yet, the stock market goes to new highs almost every week. Why is that? Is business doing that well? And if it is, then why are people so discouraged about the economy? Well, I think the answer is that the Fed pumps in $5 billion into the economy every month. That's why the national debt keeps going up. They are pumping money artificially into the economy. How do they do that? Well, they buy stocks in companies. So this is institutional investing into companies. Who profits? All the people who didn't vote for Barack Obama. The people that win are the people that have portfolios.
Right.
Who loses? Everybody that doesn't. I mean, if this isn't the biggest bait and switch in the world history, I don't know what it is. Now, how sustainable is that? I mean, this is pretty important stuff. As I so often do, I'm going to tell you what our national debt is. It's 17 $1,316,000,000,000. So essentially $17.5 trillion now. When I first started complaining about this, Dick, you'll remember that we were in the 15s. That was $2.5 trillion ago. Now, let's just put this into context. That $2.5 trillion is what the GDP of Great Britain is. It's the GDP of France. Just the difference between when we started this little show and now in debt. That's as much in Great Britain make in a year. Everybody. It's as much as the people in France make every year. That's a lot, all right? Now, if the if our debt is essentially $17.5 trillion, continue with this little scenario of what it equates to. That is the total production for a year of the European Union. The entire Europe. Our debt would pay for everything that everybody does in Great Britain, Spain, Portugal, Greece, Germany, Scandinavian countries, Belgium,
France.
France, Ireland, all of them, all of them, for a year. They would have to, every single thing that they did, it would take to just pay our debt. You know, they say, well, we're going to have, we don't want to have a fight about increasing the, you know, the debt ceiling. You know, this is terrible that the, you know, that the, you know, that these Republicans, you know, held us hostage. Holding a gun to our head is what Obama said. Because they wanted, you know, he wants to increase it another $1.5 trillion. Now, $1.5 trillion is everything that everybody makes in Australia. The entire gross domestic product of Australia is just how much extra Obama wants to run things for another 6 months. That's unbelievable. And what he would really like is for it to be closer to 2. That would mean it's everything that everybody in India does or everything in Canada. This kind of debt is unsustainable. And here's the deal. In America, as long as people have their cable TV on, as long as they have internet, as long as they have their iPhones, heat, food, you know, housing, they're okay. They think they're doing okay. But when you have that kind of debt, you're I mean, there's no way for you to survive. And there isn't even any guilt about it. They're not ashamed of it. There's no sense of we have failed the American people. And what do? They go on a 17-day vacation. Obamacare, you know, is a mess. They said that they would have 7 million people by the end of March signed up for it. Now they're saying, well, success is whatever we say it is. Because you're going to have about 2 million, maybe 3. they're going to be less than half of their goal. There are more people that have been dumped on their policies by two times than what they will have in their first 6 months of doing this stuff. And yet, you know, there really is no shame to this. There is no sense of we have failed. Why? Why do you think that they do that? Is there something in the psyche of these progressives that can't admit that they have failed? And you know, none of these kind of questions are things that they're ever willing to address or answer. They want something, they get it. It's never, how are we going to pay for it? Nothing's working in Obamacare. Nothing is as it should be. But that didn't, you know, if your business were failing, would you go snorkeling and playing golf and go on a 17-day vacation? Well, the job of the president is that, you know, it's a really tough thing. I mean, they deserve a vacation. Okay. How many vacations? Is there that sense of responsibility that this is the most important thing that I have ever done, this piece of legislation, and I need to do everything I can to make it work? Why is he not hands-on about anything? The only hands-on I've seen him be is with that is with the Danish Prime Minister, which surprised me, frankly. It surprised me that he would show interest in a woman. That's absolutely the surprise to me. Personally, now that's probably not very nice, but I am surprised. I'm not surprised that Michelle is pissed. She's about to leave him. I don't blame her about that one bit. I mean, she's been ridiculed in front of the whole world as a skank, first lady of the United States, by him openly flirting with that other one. Not even Clinton would do that openly. What do you think about that?
He stayed behind in Hawaii, you know.
Oh, I know. That's her 50th birthday present. My bet is she's finding new housing. You know, and in all of this, Hillary is right around the corner, and the New York Times has put out this piece about how it really was the video that caused the Benghazi thing in an effort to deflect so that it won't cause her trouble, but it will. Because there's people like us, lots of them, and we know that that's a lie.
Well, to me, they just opened up a wound all over again.
Well, and you know, this is a wound that hasn't healed, and nor will it. They don't answer the question. But you know, I have one of my little friends on Facebook, and he was talking about Benghazi as a phony scandal. And I said, he says, it just isn't that important. I said, isn't it important what the commander-in-chief was doing when our consulate was under attack? That's an attack on the United States. Still don't know what he was doing. Isn't it important to know who gave the stand-down order? We still don't know. Isn't it important that the American people hear for themselves the 30 witnesses who were at the conflict, the people that were working for the State Department, the people that were working for Hillary Clinton, and what they saw and what actually happened, and have them come forth candidly and say, this is my experience? We still haven't had that. Isn't it important to know that a SWAT team of 50 people went and got that, you know, that movie producer in Hollywood, 50, stormed on his place? That's 50 more than went to Benghazi to save those four men. What was Chris Stevens doing in Benghazi anyway? Not even the Red Cross was there. The British had left. We were the last flag standing in Benghazi. Why? What was the real reason? Why don't we know? Why is it that they're just these, you know, these, Daryl Issa get, you know, has these hearings, and Trey Gowdy, you know, asks questions, and yet it never goes anyplace? Why haven't people in the press just absolutely gone after this like Woodward and Bernstein went after Watergate? Why haven't they done that about the IRS? Why haven't they done it about the NSA? How is it that Obama wants every single piece of information about everybody in America, everybody, and yet his very first act as president was to seal everything about himself? Is that just in and of itself the most suspicious thing you've ever heard?
Absolutely.
By the way, folks, yeah, by the way, folks, neither my brother nor I are suicidal, and we wouldn't even consider going in the woods and taking a gun to our head like so many of the people that, you know, were around both Obama and Hillary Clinton. Bunches of them, folks. Bunches of them. Tough stuff. This is our year. If we can take power in the Senate, and I say we, several of the, you know, there are quite a few of the Republicans that are really Republican in name only. But that's okay. If we can get Harry Reid, Dianne Feinstein, and those people to not have the leadership by unseating Mary Landrieu in Louisiana, Mark Pryor in Arkansas, take the seat in North Carolina and in Montana, get that fool Al Franken out. Fool. F-O-O-L. Hold on to Georgia. Win two or three more. Things will change. If both houses of Congress are diametrically opposed to Obamacare and to the rest of the agenda of these progressive fools who are certain the ice caps would be melted by now and that are stuck in the ice, we'll be better off. By the time Obama's out, our debt will be $20 trillion. Now, that's the bad news. There is some good news. Because of fracking,
we're going to be energy independent. And our economy is twice as big as China's, and that's the next closest. We can have a surge and really take things off. But we'll never do it with this, with Obama or Hillary Clinton or anybody who thinks like them. It's going to take some people who have enough sense to say, okay, you know, we're going to suck it up for a couple of years and really produce and pay off our debt. Then we'll move forward. It can happen. You know, probably the smartest thing that Obama could do would be to just let the pipeline through. But, you know, that's, he's given kind of partial consent for you know, one part of it. But, you know, I mean, it's got to go to the end. It doesn't do any good, to have we'll let you take it 300 miles, but not all the way to the Gulf. That's go to the Gulf, to the refineries. What kind of a buffoon? And we need somebody who can get in office who's going to say, okay, to the coal industry, go back to work. We need some leadership in this country. Someone who is strong enough to stand on principle and who will do what he says he will do in the international community so that we are once again feared. We want to be feared. Power needs to be feared. And nobody fears Obama. He's this wimpy little riding a girl's bicycle with a helmet on dandy. A narcissist of the first order and incapable of doing anything for the long term, for the long term good of the United States of America. He took an oath to defend the Constitution, to defend the American people, and he has done nothing to do so. Not a good situation. All right, all that's on the bad news. We got less than a minute. Let's talk about the Patriots. We're in hopes that they'll go to the Super Bowl. But kind of tough. Too many people are out. And yet tonight we've got the national championship. My brother and I have a lunch bet. He's got Florida State and I have Auburn. And we'll just see who wins this bet. Announce it next week on the program. That's all the time that we have. So let me just say, good night, Richard. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.